Hello and happy day. This is Dr. Mary Ann DiOrio, your virtual life coach, welcoming you to Winning with the Word. Today we're going to explore an exciting topic that will totally change your life for the better when you get a hold of it. If I were to ask you to give me your perception of God, what would you say? Would you tell me that you see God as a stern judge ready to pounce on you as soon as you make a wrong move? Or would you tell me that you see God as some unreachable, ethereal being floating in space somewhere and totally oblivious to your problems and needs? Perhaps some of you would tell me that you don't see God at all because you don't believe He even exists. Others of you would probably tell me that you see God as a loving Father who is deeply concerned about you and who wants to be intimately involved in your life. Each of us has a different perception of God based on the sum total of our life experiences. To a large extent, our concept of God derives from our earthly father and our relationship to him. If our earthly father was a severe, authoritarian figure in our life, then we will usually see God as severe and authoritarian. If our earthly father was distant and uncaring, then we will see God as distant and uncaring. If our earthly father abused us or abandoned us when we were children, whether physically or emotionally, then we will view God as someone who cannot be trusted. We will be angry toward him, bitter toward him, and in some cases even hate him. If, on the other hand, our earthly father was loving, kind, understanding, and trustworthy, then we will see God as loving, kind, understanding, and trustworthy. Our concept of God profoundly affects our relationship to Him, and so it is vitally important that we have a correct concept of God. The most accurate concept or picture of God is found in the Bible, God's Manual for Man. In this greatest of all books, God has revealed to us who He is and what He is really like. In the Bible, we get a clear picture of the characteristics of God. Let's take a look at some of those characteristics. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, we learn that God is love. The Greek word used in this verse is agape. Notice that the Bible doesn't say here simply that God has love. It says that God is love. In other words, love is what God is made of. It is His very essence, the very core of His being. Love is who God is. Now, let's think a moment about love. In one of my earlier podcasts, I talked about love and its characteristics. When I spoke about love, I was actually speaking about God because God is love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, describes love as follows. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever. Now, since God is love, let's read this same passage substituting the word God for the word love. God is patient and kind. God is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. God does not demand His own way. God is not irritable, and He keeps no record of when He has been wronged. He is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. God never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. God will last forever. Does this give you a better idea of what God is like? Let's look at the passage again. It says that God is patient. Do you see God as patient, or do you see Him as sitting on the edge of His throne with a gavel in His hand, just waiting for you to make a mistake? Sad to say, many people see God in this way, but the truth is that God is not that way at all. There are several instances in the Bible where we are told about the patience of God. In Romans chapter 15, verse 5, the Apostle Paul calls God the God of patience. Time after time in the Old Testament, we see that God had patience with His people who repeatedly rebelled against Him. In fact, were it not for God's patience, many of us would not be here today. But we are here because God is patient and gave us a second chance to come to Him. The Bible goes on to say that God is kind. Do you see God as kind? If not, if you see him as cruel and heartless, then you do not know God. You know only your false perception of God. To be kind means to be disposed to be helpful. God is very much disposed to be helpful. Psalm 46, verse 1 tells us that God is a very present help in time of trouble. Notice the words very present. This means that God is always by our side, ready to help us in whatever situation we find ourselves. No situation is too serious or too difficult for God to get us through it. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27, God says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Hallelujah, nothing is too hard for God. No problem, no seemingly impossible situation is too hard for him to handle. Isn't that great news? Now, let's jump down a few verses in our scripture passage on love to the words, "God keeps no record of when he has been wronged." Do you know that when you sin and then repent, God no longer remembers your sin? You may be wondering, how can God forget? God can forget your sins because he chooses to forget them, provided, of course, that you repent of them and ask his forgiveness. Psalm 103, verse 12 tells us that as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. When you ask God to forgive you of your sins, God removes them from you as far as the east is from the west. That is infinitely far. To use another more modern illustration, when you ask God to forgive you of your sins and you repent of them, in other words, when you turn away from your sins and start living right, then God deletes every record of your sin from his heavenly computer. When you get to heaven and he looks up your file, it will read, "Acquitted of all charges." Doesn't that excite you? It excites me, and I know it excites God. In fact, the reason that God sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you is so that you could be acquitted of all charges of sin against you. Jesus came and bailed you out of hell. To use modern jargon, he took the rap for your sin. Now, if you want to get an even better glimpse of what God is like, think about this. God has only one son, Jesus Christ. But God loved you so much that he was willing to give his only son, Jesus, to die for you in your place, to plead guilty for you, to take the prison sentence for you, to go to the electric chair for you. Would you give your son to die in someone else's place? Would you love someone so much that you would give up your only son to die for that person? Well, that's exactly what God did for you. Now, are you beginning to see God in a different light? Are you beginning to see what God is really like? Are you beginning to see how good God is and how much he loves you? Psalm 52, verse 1 tells us that the goodness of God endures continually. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, we read that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. When people realize how good God is, they begin to realize how bad they have been in comparison. When people begin to see how good God is, they become ashamed of their sins and repent of them. God's goodness is demonstrated through his love. John chapter 3, verse 16, that famous scripture passage, tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Here you have a perfect picture of the heart of God. God so loved that he gave. God is a great lover of people, and God is a great giver to people. To what people, you may ask? To all those who want to receive his love and his gifts. The choice is up to us. God is continually offering his love to us. He is continually offering his forgiveness, his reconciliation to himself, his healing of emotional wounds. He is continually offering his gifts to us, his gifts of eternal life, of peace, of joy, of prosperity, of health, of fulfillment in him. All we have to do is reach out to him and receive those gifts that he is offering us with his outstretched hand. Yes, I said his outstretched hand. This is another characteristic of God. His hand is always outstretched and ready to help us. Sadly, however, our hands are not always outstretched toward God to receive what he is offering us. Why? Because we don't know what he's really like. If we did, our hands would be continually outstretched toward him in worship and praise, ready to bless him and to receive all that he wants to give us. Finally, in our passage on love, we see that God never gives up. He never gives up on us, no matter how far we may have strayed from Him, no matter how badly we may have messed up our lives. Others may grow weary of us and cast us aside. Others may grow disgusted with us and stop believing in us. But God never grows tired of us. He never casts us aside. He never gets disgusted with us. He never stops believing in us. No, God never gives up on us. Never. If you have felt that God has given up on you, change your perception of Him today. Realize that God is on your side and always has been. It is Satan who's not on your side. God, however, is on your side. He's on your team, supporting you, encouraging you, cheering you on to victory. So choose to see Him that way, beginning today. I trust that you have begun to see more clearly what God is really like, that your perception of Him has shifted from the false one you may have had to a true perception of God based on His holy word. Knowing God the Father comes from knowing Jesus Christ, who is our only bridge to God the Father. Jesus said, "If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father." If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, I invite you to meet Him today. Just pray this simple prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I come to You just as I am. I admit that I am a sinner in need of Your mercy and grace. I believe that You are the Son of God, that You died for me, and that You rose again on the third day. I invite You now to come into my life. I receive You as my personal Savior and as the Lord of my life. Make of me all that You created me to be. Amen. If you sincerely prayed this prayer, you are now a born-again Christian. I invite you to write to me, Dr. Mary Ann DiOrio, at Dr. Mary Ann, that's MaryAnn, at MaryAnnDiOrio.com. I would like to send you a little booklet that will help get you started in your Christian walk. Thank you for listening. This is Dr. Mary Ann DiOrio, your virtual life coach, reminding you that God loves you just as you are and just where you are, and that He will help you to keep on winning with the Word.